Have you ever hoped for some good luck, a stroke of good luck that would get you out of a difficult situation?
I suppose we all have, one time or another.
A young guy named Joey Coyle certainly had been hoping for a lucky break on February 26, 1981. Joey Coyle was an unemployed dock worker, longshoreman, living in South Philadelphia, struggling with a drug problem and hoping for some good luck that would help him turn his life around, which was going nowhere fast. 1981 was 7 years before June and I even moved to Philadelphia, and it was 20 years before I got my first patrol assignment in the Philadelphia Police Department. But what happened to Joey Coyle on Porter and Swanson Streets was legendary, still is, in South Philly. In fact, Hollywood made a major motion picture about these events, and it was called Money for Nothing, and it starred John Cusack as Joey Coyle. Well, on that day in 1981, an armored car had gone down to the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia and picked up two big canvas bags of $100 bills. And they were transporting them back to their headquarters in South Philly. The truck went too fast over a famous Philly pothole, and the back doors just popped open, and the bags flew out, and then the doors closed. The drivers didn't even notice. $1.2 million laying on the street in two big canvas bags. Moments later, Joey Coyle, who was hoping for a lucky break, was riding with two of his friends in one of the friends' car, and he went right by that spot, and he said, "Stop, stop, stop!" And he jumped out. He saw the bags. I think he knew what they were from a distance, even. If you've ever seen some of those bags, I don't know what else they could be, but they're money bags made out of canvas. These two bags said Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. I wonder what that is. So he grabbed them, scooped them up, jumped back in the car, said, "Let's go, go, go," and the car sped off. There were witnesses. Joey and his two friends went to his house, and they ran down in the basement with the bags, and they opened them up to see what might be inside, hopefully not receipts, hopefully something fungible. The two friends urged Joey to give the $1.2 million back. $1.2 million in $100 bills, shrink-wrapped in clear cellophane. He said, "Man, you got to turn that in. You know that they're going to catch you, right?" But Joey Coyle didn't listen because he figured, "I've been hoping for a lucky break. I think this is the lucky break that's going to turn my life around. $1.2 million. So in spite of his friends telling him to give the money back, he decided he would keep it. Well, if you watch the movie or read the book, there's a book about it too, to go along with the movie. The book came out first. There's a long, complicated, sad story of how Joey Coyle, who was not the sharpest tool in the shed, I'll tell you, he got caught and arrested just 5 days later. 5 measly days is how long he had the money. He was at JFK Airport trying to flee to Mexico with $105,000 stuffed in his boots. And the FBI walked up on him and said, "Are you Joey Coyle?" "Yeah, okay." So he got arrested. Not all the money was recovered. Well, I tell you that story because I want to talk to you today about hope and not about luck. People have a tendency to use the words hope, wish, and luck interchangeably as if they were the same thing, but they're not. And so the first thing I have to do so you can understand what I'm saying is define what hope is and what luck is and what wish is so that you'll understand the rest of what I have to say. A wish is merely something you hope happens. A wish has nothing behind it. There's no reason why this thing would happen to you, but you wish it would happen to you. For instance, you might say, "I wish I could win $10 million in the Powerball lottery tonight." That's an example of a wish because you didn't even buy a ticket. So if you haven't bought a ticket, there's no chance you're going to win anything, much less $10 million. That's a wish. No reason for it to come true, but it is something you want. Now, if I go out and buy one lottery ticket, now I can change my terms. I can say, I hope my one ticket is pulled tonight and I win the $10 million. That hope is based on something. Previously, the wish was not based on anything, but a hope that's based on one lottery ticket is a hope. But hope that is based on luck is the weakest form of hope there is. There's different forms of hope, but hoping for luck is very weak. On the other hand, I hope I don't offend anybody here, and if I do, it's too bad. On the other hand, if I say I hope that the Philadelphia Eagles go back to the Super Bowl next year, if I hope that the Philadelphia Eagles go back to the Super Bowl next year, that hope is based on something, not luck, not one lottery ticket. That hope is based on the whole Eagles team. They all want to go back to the Super Bowl, and that's 50 strong, determined, hardworking men, and that's a lot for a hope to be based on. Hope can be based also on your own efforts. Hope could be based on the efforts of someone else. I'm glad Mike's here, because a hope based on the hope of some on the abilities of someone else would include, I hope my mechanic can fix my car for less than $500. That's a hope. Or, depending on myself, I could say, I hope I lose 30 pounds by Christmas. I'm not saying that. Just, you know, it could be. If I said that, then it would be depending on my abilities to lose 30 pounds. So a hope can be based on a lot of things, but it's based on something. But since this is a biblical sermon, and you were wondering if I was going to get around to that, I want to focus your attention on hope that is based on the promises and power of God Almighty. Hope grounded in God is the most powerful form of hope there is. And that's easy to figure, because the power of any hope is directly proportional to the power of whatever it's based on. The stronger the source, the stronger the hope. Look with me at Psalm 71, and you'll see what I mean. At least you'll start to see what I mean. Psalm 71. Right away, in the very first four verses, the writer reveals that his hope has always been based in God, in God's promises, and in God's power. Not in his own strength, not in his own power, not in money, not in luck. His hope is based completely in God. Listen to what it says in verses 1 through 4. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Rescue me and deliver me in your righteousness. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge, to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of evil and cruel men. So then, in verses 5 to 8, we can see that the writer has put his hopes in God since he was young. He says that since I was young, I have trusted in you, I've hoped in you. And what he's saying is, I have had so much experience hoping that you'll answer my prayer and seeing it happen that now I have confidence. After all these years, I am confident that my hope in you will pay off. Look at what he says, verse 5. For you have been my hope, O sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become like a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. Then in verses 9 through 13, he continues, the writer asks God not to abandon him in his old age, now that he's not as strong as he used to be. Not able to provide for himself like he used to. Maybe some of us can understand that. Verse 9. Do not cast me away when I am old. Do not forget me when my strength is gone. For my enemies speak against me. Those who wait to kill me conspire together. They say, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for no one will rescue him. Be not far from me, O God. Come quickly, O my God, to help me. And then finally, the last verse I want to look at is verse 20. And in that verse, you can see that his hope in God, in spite of the sufferings he's had to go through in life, he's sure that God will rescue him even from death and give him eternal life. Listen to what he says. Though you have made me see troubles, many and bitter, you will restore my life again. From the depths of the earth, you will bring me up. So to review, a wish is just something you want to happen. There's no reason why it would happen. Man, I suppose it could. Most wishes are outlandish. But there may be a wish that can happen, but there's no foundation in it. There's nothing tangible that you can say, yeah, this is why my wish could happen. Hope based on luck is the weakest form of hope that there is. But at least it's based on something. I hope my one lottery ticket gets picked in tonight's drawing. And so I wonder, are there things you've been wishing for in your life? Nothing, they're not based on anything, but you just wish it would happen. Or have there been things that you've been hoping for that luck will come through for you, like Joey Coyle on that day? Every hope, though, is only as powerful as whatever the hope is based on. The more powerful and dependable the source of your hope, the more confident and joyful you will be while you wait for your hope to pay off. And that's where the water hits the wheel is, what happens between now when I'm hoping for this and later when it happens? That's how you can tell how powerful your hope is. If you are full of confidence and joy and you celebrate with God even before you've seen it happen. For instance, my hope that the Eagles will go to the Super Bowl next year is stronger than your hope that the Patriots will go to the Super Bowl. See? Sorry about that too. That's because the Eagles were Super Bowl champs this year and they really, really want to go back. And the Patriots finished last in the AFC East. So it's possible that they could win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl, but it's not very likely, especially compared to the Philadelphia Eagles. I'm more confident than you are, Patriots fans. So I have to ask, that's not the point. The point is, what are your personal hopes in life based on? Is it something small? Is it something strong? Is it God Almighty? Those hopes, based on God Almighty, are the strong ones. Well, in the New Testament, as if you're familiar with it, the subject of hope comes up over and over again. It's a major theme in the New Testament. And hope is hope that is based on God's love and power is based on what he did in Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to demonstrate to us, this is the source of your hope. This is the power, my son. He's the power that your hope is based on, or at least that it should be based on. For instance, I can pick a million passages, but in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8, Paul says this, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I'll read that again. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. By faith, we hope that God will forgive us and welcome us into eternal life with him. And because that hope is stressed so often in the New Testament, and because it is based on Jesus' own resurrection, you realize when you're hoping for that, the power that you're hoping for is the power that raised him. Because he told us, the same power that raised me will raise you. And so it's not a lottery ticket. It's not a football team. It's God's power. It's the closest thing you'll ever get to an absolute guarantee in life. A Christian's hope for eternal life is the most powerful and dependable hope anyone can have. Jesus tried to convey this to his disciples. In John chapter 14, he says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." And you know, trust and hope, pretty much the same thing. "In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Now you realize, God never promised us that we would never have trouble. He never promised us, if you put your faith in me, you'll never get sick, you'll never be short of money at the end of the month. He never promised us that. He promised us that he would be with us and that he would come back for us and that he would answer our prayers. But not everything is going to pass us by. But if we pray to him for help, and we pray to him for healing, then our hope is based on his love and power. Then we have the strongest hope in the world. That's the peak right there. That's the strongest hope you can have. How strong is that hope? Remember those four guys who had a friend was crippled, and they hoped that Jesus would heal their friend? And so that hope gave them the confidence and the energy to carry their friend up the stairs and to be onto a roof of a house where Jesus was talking, but the place was so full they couldn't get in. And that hope drove them to make a hole in the roof and let their friend down by ropes and right in front of Jesus. And Jesus healed him. When your hope is based on the power that is exhibited in Jesus Christ, that's how strong your hope is. Now, I say all of that because that's not the way people think of hope in our world. Our world is skeptical. Our world is materialistic. You know, if you can't feel it, if you can't rub it, if you can't put it in your pockets, it's probably not real. That's the way the world thinks. Most people think of hope like that. You know, you can't see it. What's it made of? Yeah, it's nothing. You got to do for yourself, or someone else has to help you. That's the way the world thinks of it. The world thinks of hope as being maybe as solid as fog or a spider's web. A college professor named Matthew Crowe put that thinking into a short poem. And he was speaking as if hope were a person. And let me read to you what he said. "People speak of hope as if it is this delicate, ephemeral thing made of whispers and spider webs. It's not. Hope has dirt on her face, blood on her knuckles, the grit of cobblestones in her hair, and she just spat out a tooth as she rises for another go. Your hope in God is a fighter. It's not a fog or a mist. Your hope in him is not fragile like a spider's web." That's the certainty I want you to walk out of here with this morning. That if you have a hope in God, it's that strong. Your hope is a fighter. I know a guy named Ian, a friend of mine, internet friend of mine, never met face to face. He took that quote that I just read to you from the professor about hope, and he made it into a song about hope. The, The song is called Hope Has a Shiner. Everybody know what a shiner is? Black eye. Okay. And the song expresses how I imagine my hope in God fights for me. It's not a mist. It's not a spider web. My hope is a fighter because it's based on God. And I imagine that in my darkest hours, my hope in God drags me back to life, which is a line from the song. So when you're hoping in God for an answered prayer, think of your hope in these terms. And I'm going to play this song for you. I gave you the words as an insert in the bulletin in case you can't understand the words. And I know some of you might be allergic to rock music, but the music is rock. So follow along with the words. It would work just as well as a poem, but I think it makes it more powerful to hear it as a song. Hope as a person.
Wiping blood from her lips with gravel in her hair. They ride her off in lace and light, but she's been brawling half the night. Hope's got a shiner, boots full of rain, spits out a tooth, gets up again. She's not your dream or your Sunday prayer. She's fist. Jammed in the door. You think she's gone, but look again. She's rising up and swinging ten. Hope's got a shine, a boots full of rain. Spits out a tooth, gets up again. She's not your dream or your Sunday prayer. She's fists and fire and foul mouth flare. Hope don't float, she kicks and bites and drags you screaming back to life. Got scars like medals, and she swears she'll win. Hope's got a shine, a boots full of rain, spits out a tooth, laughs through the pain. She's not your dream or your Sunday prayer. She's fists and fire, and don't you dare. Hope don't float, she kicks and bites and drags you're screaming back to life.
If your hope is based in Almighty God, your hope is a fighter like in that song. Have confidence and joy while you wait for God's answer to that hope. Let's pray. Father, as I look around the room, I know some people's hopes. They're big hopes, which is the best kind. And Father, I know they're praying, and I assume others who I don't know their hopes also have hopes, and they're praying. Father, I pray that you would strengthen their resolve when they realize that the hope you give is the most powerful hope in the universe. Your hope is a fighter, not a mist or a fog or a spider's web, but a fighter. And so, Father, we are comforted by your presence, and we seek you out as we wait for our hope to be fulfilled in what you're going to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.